Hi, everyone. Welcome to This Is Row, a podcast dedicated to all my fellow nomads. On this show, I'll be sitting down with my friends and chatting about how their life stories have prepared them for who they are today, how they are just figuring it out, connecting the dots, and what the roadblocks are on the way to their version of success. So on this week's episode, it's just going to be me, and I want to get up close and personal about my journey of self-discovery and embracing my true self. I was first connected with my true self when I was majoring in analog photography. I felt really like an outcast and so culturally disconnected with my fellow peers. And I finally said to myself, fuck it. And I went off to go photograph each country where I grew up. One thing that the arts really do advocate for is self-discovery. A great artist goes down the deepest, darkest hole they can crawl into, even get depressed, feel unworthy, and somehow find a way to turn provoking thoughts, opinions, pain, and lived experiences into beautiful, timeless works. Without life experiences, risks, and epiphanies, can you really become your most authentic self? I don't think so. So before we get into it, here's a bit of an explanation of what true self is and what I found other people describing the philosophy around true self. So the concept of the true self is rooted in philosophy, psychology, and even spirituality. It refers to the authentic core essence of an individual, encompassing their unique identity, values, beliefs, desires, and their purpose. The true self is often contrasted with the false self. The false self represents the social masks, roles, and expectations we adopt to fit into society. So to align with your true self means to live in accordance with one's genuine nature, right? To express yourself authentically and pursue a life that really resonates with your deepest values and aspirations in life. It involves a lot of self-awareness, self-acceptance, and to make choices that are true to yourself. Even if they may diverge from societal norms or expectations, you are who you are on the inside. So the concept of true self is really multifaceted. So number one, authentic essence. So the true self represents the authentic essence of you, the individual. It is the core of your being, the untouched by external influences, societal expectations, projections of others. And it really encompasses your genuine thoughts, your genuine feelings, desires, and values. Number two is inner wisdom. The true self is often associated with your own personal deep inner wisdom, also known as intuition. The intuition that guides you towards a life of alignment within your authentic nature. It is believed to have profound understanding of your purpose, passions, and unique gifts and skills. Number three, unconditioned self. The true self is free from societal conditioning, social masks, and the need for external validation. It exists beyond the roles and personas individuals adopt in different contexts. It is the most genuine expression of who you really, truly are. Number four, alignment and congruence. When individuals are aligned with their true selves, there is a sense of congruence and harmony between their inner worlds and outer actions. They make choices that reflect their core values, resulting in a greater sense of fulfillment, joy, and authenticity in their life. Number five, growth and transformation. Embracing and aligning with the true self often involves a process of growth and transformation. It requires self-reflection, self-awareness, and the willingness to explore and confront aspects of yourself that you may have been suppressing or ignoring for this whole time. Number six, integration and wholeness. The true self seeks integration and wholeness by embracing all aspects of who you are, including the light and the shadows, the strengths, the weaknesses, and yeah, the vulnerabilities. It involves accepting and loving yourself unconditionally. And last, number 7, connection to something greater. For some, the concept of true self is intertwined with spirituality or a connection to something greater than yourself. It can be seen as a pathway to accessing higher states of consciousness, transcending the ego, and experiencing a deeper sense of unity and interconnectedness with the world. The true self is subjective and deeply personal. And I want to say that it really does vary from person to person, and this might not land in a way for you that it could for somebody else. And it may evolve and change throughout your life. It evolves through your life as you grow and gain self-awareness. The awakening phase. Okay, story time. As part of the awakening phase, I had to dig within myself to find a moment in my life where I genuinely felt like this was the birth of my connection with my true self. That moment came when I was a youngster. I was probably like 20 years old in art school. And I started to care less about what my teachers wanted to see from me and my work, and finding my own escape by traveling to these different countries, being unprepared, really having no real plan or skill set for that matter, and just kind of going based off of my feelings. So I remember in my second year, which was technically your first year in your major, which for me was analog photography, this one teacher asked me, what are you doing here at the academy? And I sadly had no answer. I ended up telling him a random story about how I recently discovered that my Dutch ancestors were professional photographers from roughly the mid 1800s to the late 1900s, when photography became popular amongst the masses. I told him that I had a great, great aunt, I believe, who was one of the first female photographers. I showed him photos that I took of the glass plate negatives, the old cameras that I found, and even a photo of the atelier that she worked out of. She did a lot of portrait work at the time. He looked at me and he said, "Do you even realize what you just found? You found that missing link, a purpose, a reason that's worthy of exploring photography, don't you think?" He continued to ask me what I really wanted to do. And I said, "I really want to be good at what everyone else is good at," which, side note, at the time, their style of photography was very like philosophical, like images filled with like objects, shapes, shadows, really great work. It just really wasn't me or my style. He said, "Really? Like, why?" I said, "Because I hate standing out of being so different to the point that I've kind of come off as unskilled or less developed as the rest of the group." Eventually, he got me to a place where I got so frustrated and told him, "Fuck this. Here's really what I want to do." And in fact, in 2 weeks, I'm flying back to the Philippines with my mother for the first time in 2 years, and I'm going to photograph what I saw and what I experienced there. I'll come back and I'll show you. And you can tell me what you think. He goes, "Great, let's do it." Before I go on, I just want to say that my teacher, Jan Vierda, he saved me. He believed in me. He believed in at least my curiosity for photography. And he advocated for me, even when very few teachers did. So I just want to give a special shout out to him, that certain teachers in life really do change the trajectory of your life. Until this day, it's a bit scary to admit that I think the series of the Philippines that I shot is my favorite body of work that I've ever created to this date. When I came back from my trip, it was like a week or 10 days, something like that. I had a bag filled with the cheapest black and white 35 millimeter film you could find. I needed to develop it. And my peers were kind of like, "Who the hell is she? All of a sudden she has like this energy, doesn't care about what we've been working on, and thinks she just knows everything about film photography." So the truth is, I didn't know. And in fact, I knew very little. And I didn't even pretend to know because I'd always ask for help. I didn't even know how to get the film out of the canister, never mind put it on a wheel and then put it into a tank and then get all the formulations right with all the chemicals you need to develop it. So, haha. And in all honesty, I worked my ass off. And when I say my ass off, it was like running on little sleep. There was a combination of jet lag and complete fear and constant fear. Fear of failure in front of others, fear of fucking up the developing process and literally losing all images on my negatives, not knowing how to print my photos in the darkroom properly. I didn't even know what type of paper to order. And most of all, fear of failing my assessment. And I needed that assessment. Yes, it was only the first semester of the second year, but you know, if you weren't going to cut it, they were going to let you go. So I got news for you. The Dutchies, they overall had a hard time giving me a compliment or showing any type of compassion for the lengths that I traveled to get this body of work. So if you think about it, one way or another, pretty much all my fears came true. The challenge is, what do you do with negativity? Or the lack of acceptance, the commentary, or even the lack of compassion to see how pivotal this trip really was for a developing second-year student artist like myself. After it was all said and done, that one-week trip, that one conversation, the entire post-production experience, it changed me. I unintentionally showed my authenticity by daring to explore, by being curious and coloring outside of the lines of the department's expectations of what second-year photography students had to be, by staying true to my culture, to my needs, and trying to find ways to connect with my heritage. That moment right there, that was my first real connection that I made and that I was conscious of with my true self. All right, phase two, exploration. Throughout my artistic practice and exploring more ways of becoming whole and accepting myself, and the points that kind of stand out are just going for it. Just do you and ask for help. I've done things like random job interviews. I became an art curator and actually participated in the show as an artist. Became an artist assistant to two Iranian artists. I battled a middle-aged man for a job position at 23 years old, even though I was much better at it and qualified than he was. Or eloping in a foreign country and starting a new life over. The more I think about it and the more I say it out loud, even I am wondering how the hell I did it. Like, let's just be real. The person that I'm describing feels a little foreign to me right now. So while exploring the overarching topic of self-discovery and becoming connected with your true self, I have to say it wasn't always as clear and obvious because when I graduated art school, I was flying high. So high. I was telling everyone, I'm so content with who I am. I know exactly who I am. Oh, I feel so good. Oh, I feel so great. I knew who I was in that moment. I knew that I was an artist. I knew my artist voice. I knew my artistic style and really where I wanted to go next, which just felt like I was being elevated. A few years later, I turned 25 and I got hit with what we call a quarter life and identity crisis, which then, you know, quickly spiraled into a deep, dark depression in the middle of summer. The actor Jim Carrey once said, "Depression is your mind and body telling you to get some deep rest. Your mind is so exhausted with upkeeping a persona that is no longer serving you and isn't truly who you are." So what I'm saying is there were moments when it all needed to break down. And I believe that with a breakdown, there is a breakthrough. And with a breakthrough, there's elevation. And see, here's the thing. I am super fortunate to have been born with a vivid imagination, and I'm even luckier to have been granted the opportunity to pursue art when I did, which brings me to my next point. My photography well, used to be solely photography and now also is this, is my main outlet. It is and will always remain a space and a mindset where I can reclude into my own world and be with myself and feel all the feels that come with that. It is weirdly satisfying to be in a more lonesome place. And in the beginning, it felt very lonely and it felt very strange and scary. But after doing it a couple of times, you realize this is the time I have to spend with myself. And not spending time with yourself on the couch watching a movie, it's really spending time with yourself, hearing your own thoughts, and muting anyone else's projections or expectations of you. And today, I have this podcast, which is an audio extension of my creative thoughts and feelings. And in addition, I have coaching and embracing deep questioning and listening to others. It really aids in the process of trying to make sense and understand and really also process the world and how I want to contribute to it. So really what I'm trying to say is, in all the lives that I've lived, with all the versions of myself I got to create and all the personas I had to leave behind, if you strip it all away, you know who you are. You know who you are deep down inside. The difference is some of us only know 5%. Others may know 29%. But we all have access to who we really are. But here's the problem. What is really blocking us if we are at the 5% stage, right? What is really standing in our way of going to the 29, 47% of being more connected with that side of ourselves? For me, it was getting wrapped up in the image of what a fine artist looks like, what they speak like, what they feel like versus just who I am and who I want to be. In another era in my life, I was totally swept away on like the hamster wheel-like environment at Holland Casino about wanting more and wanting more responsibility and becoming a leader. But there was too many people and only one job opening. And then when I moved to New York, I was so obsessed with, I need to make as much money as I can, otherwise I'm not successful, right? Versus let's make as much money as we can and doing exactly what it is that we're meant to be doing, really aiding in someone else's impact that they have on themselves in their own lives. So with that, I'd say the thing that really is standing out to me as I'm having all these takeaways myself from telling the story is learning how to reframe your thoughts is super powerful. It pretty much helps you, well, provide yourself with more than one side to a situation or an opportunity. Because let's be real, just because you are an exceptional executive assistant doesn't mean you should give up your curiosity of starting your own wellness company just because someone else is thriving off of your skill set that isn't really serving you anymore. And my mother always used to say, if you're in a situation or you're in conversation with someone and you just can't make sense of it, you should literally rise like a bird or a drone and take your bird's eye or drone eye perspective to the situation. Essentially, she's saying, take yourself out of the situation so you can see all the angles to the story, to the scenario, because one way or another, we always catch ourselves being blinded by our own blinders. Another thing that I had to do, which is very personal, it goes hand in hand with my quarter life crisis, is I went into therapy, not only to deal with my depression, but also to deal with unhealed wounds, kind of understanding what this unofficial diagnosis of identity crisis was, which, side note, is being Dutch Filipino, being raised in Singapore, going to the Philippines, coming back to Holland, having lived in Asia, being culturally confused, integrating is really hard. It's sometimes integrating is like fully submerging yourself into the culture, but I was really integrating in order to just survive, which are two different things. It had multilingual, multicultural therapists. It was the best life-saving experience that I've ever had. I learned a lot about my past and my own ways and things that I would do from like a survival mechanism to responding, right? Reaction versus the response. I really had to learn how to be really patient with my healing journey. I put in a lot of effort to create really deep and meaningful friendships with individuals who are wise, individuals who are compassionate. They're really daring in their own lives. Those who have lived, lost, learned, and who were just like me, seeking for authentic and meaningful relationships. Because as much as they and I are each other's long-distance BFFs, it doesn't matter where I am in the world or what type of time zone we're in or culture or continent, there is something really beautiful connecting with people who may be entirely different than you or have had a completely different walk of life, but share those similar building blocks as you. And most of all, this one is a shocker. Well, it was for me for a long time, is self-love. That's it. I really had to learn the hard and long way because I didn't think I was, you know, worthy of certain things. And then I spiraled from, I don't know if I'm worthy, to I don't want anyone thinking I'm egocentric or narcissistic. So I had to learn that self-love is a way to discover what your inner true self really needs in order to shine and just live peacefully. And when I say self-love, it's, you know, affirmations are really tough for me to do. I personally feel really confident. And this sounds very superficial, but I personally love getting my hair done, getting a facial, grabbing breakfast on the beach at 9 a.m. when I was living in Holland, waking up without an alarm, taking a shower at the right point in the morning that the sun continuously shines on your face. The things that no one can take away from me. Phase three is embracing authenticity. So here's the thing. In order to embrace your authenticity, you have to start with some compassion for yourself. I picked up this nasty trait in the Asian culture, but also kind of in the Dutch culture, where if someone shared some really good news or really bad news, it was like, well, see, guess you weren't that smart enough, or I wouldn't have done it that way. It was never, oh, I'm so sorry. Let me know if there's anything I could do. Or, you know, hey, man, like, you really tried your best. That's all you could have done. You know, maybe this isn't meant for you. Like uplifting statements and comments. The way I've experienced it is you only know what you know. You can't know everything and you can't find out unless you go do stuff. You're doing the best you can to figure out this thing called life, right? As is everybody else. And for those who act like they have everything together, it's like, please, do you really though? Do you really? Because perfectionism, it's just not the vibe. The other thing is making courageous decisions and pushing through with them. It takes a lot of bravery. You know, it's like one thing to think about it, then to go do it, but then not to give up. Like, please. Do you know how many people are more comfortable giving up than actually climbing over the wall and seeing what's on the other side? And listen, no shame if it happened to you once or even twice. I'd say at least give yourself the respect and the grace to take a moment and ask yourself, what went well? What did not go well? How could I have done better? And what did I enjoy? This entire journey with even just going back into like my archive of a memory of going to art school and just having that conversation with that teacher all kind of rippled, you know, starting at like 19, which in my opinion feels like I'm kind of like a late bloomer. And it went from leaving the Philippines, coming back to Holland, going to art school. And, you know, now I'm in my early 30s working on my business with the ultimate dream to be able to call myself a successful entrepreneur one day. I'm really proud to say that I know there's so much more to learn about myself and the world around me. I only get seasonal depression a few weeks out of the year, which is in August. I'm also really proud to say that I have retired from therapy a year ago. I do have some work to do on my limiting beliefs, but other than that, as imperfect as I am, I feel really good. It didn't come with like blood, sweat, and tears, or maybe like a lot of tears and a lot of negative limiting beliefs and thoughts, but I've never felt so secure about where I'm supposed to be with so many uncertainties around me. So living with the awareness of true self, I've genuinely felt more confident, content. I mean, absolutely, I feel empowered and accepting where I am today and who I am becoming is really different and really eye-opening and feels really good. And truthfully, this does come with a lot of self-reflection, self-awareness, kindness, letting someone else win from time to time. And yes, you yourself can get it wrong, but it takes work, constant, consistent work. But it's not impossible and definitely not unattainable. I never thought I was going to be in a place and say, hey, I am not depressed. I don't really feel like that's part of my personality anymore. There once was a time where it was. I can't believe I would be sitting here telling you that yes to all of it. Yes, it is possible. And maybe not all at once, but just choose which one is yes for right now, and what is that thing yes for next month or next year? This is absolutely attainable with progress. So with all that to say, here are my personal takeaways. Things really do happen to you and influence your life for a reason. It's your choice whether or not you'll accept that life lesson or mind-altering experience and to do something with that. And yes, you will get it wrong a lot, but that's only a failure if you refuse to take a step back and ask yourself some follow-up questions like, what did I not see? Lastly, becoming who you need to be isn't for everyone to experience with you. It takes a lot of you work for you to get the information you need to start making life decisions based on what you need to become in tune with your true self. Because growth is a journey. Don't ever doubt that you don't have that connection to your true self, because the fact of the matter is, you do. Instead of telling yourself that you don't have it, you should ask yourself, which parts of my life, my career, my social network, my time to myself is blocking me from getting that access? So with that, I want to say thank you for joining me on this quick journey down memory lane. I'm just kidding. I want to thank you for joining me on this journey of self-discovery and embracing true self. The path to authenticity is unique and each their own. And this is just a snippet of a lifetime filled with self-discovery. If you enjoyed today's episode and want to continue exploring the true self with me and my friends, make sure to subscribe to the This Is Real podcast on your favorite podcasting platform. I invite you to share your own stories, insights, and experiences. Connect with me on social media if you like at This Is RO Podcast on Instagram, where we can continue the conversation and support one another. I'm really open to creating a community of empowered individuals who are living authentically and finding their true purpose, and advocating for others to find theirs as well. If you found value in today's episode, I'd be incredibly grateful if you could leave a positive review. Your feedback helps the podcast reach more people who are seeking inspiration, empowerment, and belonging. And for those who feel ready to take the next step in your personal journey, or you are seeking guidance through like a life transition, consider exploring coaching. I am here to figure it out together with you, to navigate the unknown and just free your true potential. So please, if you're interested, you can find more details in the show notes. Thank you again for being part of This Is Ro. Until next time.